I know I'm in London. I know most of you know little about farming. And I don't know much about farming either. But one day I was coming out of Newry and I was driving along and I saw in the field a big field of wheat, I think it was. And there was what they call a threshing machine. It's an old type machine. Now, I never had worked on one of these or saw it before. I was on my way to hospital and I had my collar and dressed as the clergy and I stopped and walked across the field and all the men stopped working. What's the minister coming to see us for? What's wrong? So I walked across the field and I said to the man, I said, look, I've never seen this working. Can you show me? And there's this big square box and they put the grain and the corn or the wheat in the top and then it separates the straw and the chaff. And there's a wee man standing at the side with a bag and he's smiling, happily gathering in the wheat and corn or whatever it may be. And the straw goes out the back and the chaff's left in a big pile. And I watched this for some time, thanked the man very much for the way I went. A couple of days later, I come down the road and here's the same farmer out in the field. The threshing machine's gone and he's walking around the field. So I stopped and I had a wee chat with him and I said, what are you doing today? Oh, he says, I'm gathering up all the old briars and weeds. And he says, there's a pile of chaff and I'm going to burn the lot. Very good. Now, that's what we do on the farm. That's what they do. Now, they're not allowed to burn the chaff and so forth today, but that man does that. And God is giving the simple example here of the exact same thing that he will do. We accuse God of doing things that we do. This is something that's being done. The waste, the rubbish, burn it, put it in the incinerator and burn it. And he tells this wonderful parable here. And what's a parable? It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He's a wonderful way of teaching here. Topics of everyday living. Wheat, growing, sowing, fishing, all kinds of things here. And he gives the parable, and the multitude go away not understanding the details. And then over in the house, the disciples said to him, tell us the meaning of this great parable. Tell us the meaning of this everyday story. They're humble enough to ask for an explanation, aren't they? Verse 24, Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And when men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The kingdom of heaven. God's church on this big world. God's church on this earth. He sows it, he grows it, and he harvests it. It's God's church. Oh, there's an enemy, yes. Satan comes along and he sows tares among the wheat. He sows the hypocrites among the unsaved. He sows them amongst God's people. We go into London, we find working and living side by side the saved and the unsaved. We go into the little villages and the little towns and we see the saved and the unsaved living together, working together. We go into some of the homes, into some of the churches, and we find the saved and the unsaved living together. When I was a young boy at home, I felt it difficult because my mum and dad were saved and my brother was saved and I wasn't. I was one of the unsaved in a saved home. And I used to think what would happen. They'd go to heaven and I'd be left behind. The head of the church, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Verse 24 says, the world sowed good seed in the field. On over there he says, it's the world. Verse 38, the field is the world. It's a large field. I don't know all the measurements, but I believe it's 4,078 kilometers round the equator. And there's supposed to be 7.8 billion people. That's a lot of people, isn't it? God says, I'll feed them and I'll be in charge. He created all things. He created every tribe and every tongue. He created the Jew. He created the Gentile. He created the rich. He created the poor. And he said he will build his church. And in the end time, he'll bring them from the north, the south, the east, the west. And they'll all sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in that glorious place of heaven. It's going to be a wonderful time, friend. Coming in from North Korea's prisons into the glories of heaven. Yeah. Coming from Italy, from eating spaghetti, to sitting down at the table of heaven. Coming from all over the world. And God's still the owner of the field, and he's still the creator, and he's still the sustainer, and he's still the giver of life. Didn't all happen just with a big bang and all things just appeared? Back home in Ireland during the Troubles, we had a lot of big bangs, but it never made anything. Just blew the house away and it made a mess. Yeah, God created all. God sustains all. He holds the sun in the sky today. Gives us darkness, gives us light, gives us health. And he gave us a son. He saw an old world that needed a savior, and he gave us a son that sinners could be saved. No, my sinners have been saved. Sinners are being saved, and sinners will be saved. Ah, that's wonderful. Man, this old world can't end till the last sinner saved. I don't know where that'll be. The day will come, and God's word will be fulfilled. Once his word's fulfilled, he'll come back again. Once the last sinner's saved, he'll come back again. Now, all the old prophecies of the Old Testament, all the prophecies of the New Testament will be fulfilled. We talked about that the other day when he said, I thirst. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I used to wonder, what did it mean by the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? We were in Israel one time and we come down to what you call the Damascus Gate. Sometimes they like to fight at the Damascus Gate. And we came down to the Damascus Gate, and as you go in there, there's benches and seats, and some of the old men come and they sit round. And they're the old men, the elders of the Jerusalem, and the lawmakers, as we would say, or the planners. And they sit and they make the plans of what will take place. And he says here that the gates of hell, the plans of hell, the plans that hell makes will not prevail against the church. Satan can get his great men and they can make all their plans, but God still rules. He still rules his church, still in charge. And sometimes, yes, sometimes we get annoyed with the ungodly plans, don't we? We get annoyed with all the plans and the laws and the rules. And we say, but where is God? God's not far away because he put the sun out this morning. I like that. I like to keep it very simple. God's not far away because, look, he gave us flowers. Beautiful flowers. Something that man couldn't make. You watch what man makes in flowers. They make lovely paper flowers and silk flowers, and they set them up on a dish. And a little bee comes along and he bypasses the paper flowers and he goes to the real flowers. Yeah. Can't put the nectar and the honey and all there. Oh my God, it's such a creator. Such a sustainer of all things. And he says, those evil men that plan the hurt of the church, they'll fall into the pit that they have dug for others. Wonderful. He said, I will build my church. So we've got the world and we've got the workers. We got verse 24 again. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto man which sowed good seed in the field. Over there in verse 38, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The children, the tares are the children of the wicked one. There's workers. This man goes out and he sows good seed in good ground. Now the Lord told other parables, surely. The parable of the stony ground, the thorny ground, the path, the good soil. But here's a man and he's got good seed and he's got good ground and he hopes to reap good seed. He hopes to reap a good harvest. The good seed is the children of the kingdom of heaven. Good seed are those that are saved, born again, born of the Spirit of God. Who's the sower? Well, the chief sower is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Lord Jesus Christ, salvation, Jonah said, is of the Lord. Salvation's not found in any other religion other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation's not found in any other person other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have whatever church or priest or religion or... there's no other Savior. Oh, how many today, and they're trusting in something that's dead. Saved. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I ask you this morning, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's wonderful to be saved today. Do you know him? I'm the kind of a believer, and I believe in God, and I believe God created all things and all. No, but have you a personal experience? Yeah, one of the seeds in this whole world. A friend of ours took ill some time ago. He was sent home, very religious man, went to the church every Sunday, Methodist. He was sent home. They told the family he has either 2 days or 1 week to live. His own minister, sadly to say, wasn't very much good to him. His own minister was good at taking a cup of tea and eating buns. They didn't know much about God's salvation. One of our own ministers, the Reverend Abraham, was sent for. And he came in to see him that morning, and he said, "Tell me, are you saved?" He says, "I'm not saved." He said, "Would you like to be saved?" "I would love to be saved, but I don't know what to do." A man that has sat in church for years and didn't know how to trust Christ as a Savior. Our minister read to him, and now he says to him, "When you got married, you said your vows. Did you mean them?" He says, "I did." He said, "I lead you in prayer, and you say your vows to God, asking for his salvation." You know, he's gloriously saved, and he turned and he says, "Bring the boys in, his sons, bring my wife in." And he turned to them and he says, "I've just got saved. I'm going to heaven. I want you to meet me there." A couple of days later, he was in heaven with Christ, which is far better. God's salvation is in Christ alone. Oh yes, the seed is sown in some areas denser. Revival times are a great sowing. But oh, the seed will be sown here, there, yonder. One saved, another saved. It's something personal. It's something between you and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Yeah, new convert, new salvation. New way of living, new power, new energy, new soul. Oh man, washed, cleansed, made clean, new destination. You know, when we come to know Christ as our Savior, there's fruit. There's to be love and joy and peace and long-suffering and the fruit of the Spirit. This is where the difference comes between the wheat and the tares. The wheat and the tares can grow together for so long, but once it comes to the place of fruitfulness, then there's a difference comes. We mentioned the other day the gift of helps, helping someone. Helping someone. Remember we mentioned Help Pilgrim fell into the Slough of Despond, and Mr. Help came and helped him out of it. What did he do? He helped him on his journey to the cross. You and I, my, it's wonderful to be a help. It's nice to be helping someone that's hungry or lonely or a time of illness, but it's lovely to help someone find the Savior. Lovely to help a boy or a girl find the Savior. To witness to them, to draw alongside them, tell them of Christ. Verse 25 says the tares, an enemy sowed tares. Verse 38 says the tares are the children of the wicked one. So what's it teaching here? It's teaching in our towns, in our villages, in our homes, in our church. We have the saved and the unsaved. We have the tares and the wheat sitting beside each other. Those that know Christ and those that do not know Christ. Those that are profane and wicked. It says they're the children of the wicked one, the children of the devil. We love to divide people up, don't we? We divide them into all shapes and sizes and classes and colours and creeds, and back home we have Protestants and Catholics. One boy says, there's us and there's them, and then there's those other boys, whoever they are. We divide it all up, don't we? God says there's two types. He says there's those that know Christ as their Saviour and those that don't. There's those that belong to Christ and on their way to heaven, and there's those that are unsaved and they belong to the devil and they're on their way to hell. Children of the devil. Now, hold on a minute. They didn't see the difference between the tares and the wheat for a long time. These people were not belonging to the devil in name, but their works and their fruit begins to show that they're not in Christ. They have a heart of sin. Oh dear. They have a heart that's ruled by Satan. They hear the same gospel, the same rain, the same sunshine, the same soil, the good soil. They're alongside godly people, the wheat. It says the tares are good for nothing but for the fire. No. Who sowed the tares? The devil. The devil. An enemy of the church. Yeah. There's an enemy to this church. There's an enemy to the church that preaches the gospel faithfully. The enemy is the devil. If you go down to the club down the road or the pub down the road, the devil, he has that, so he's not interested. That runs on week by week by week without any problems. But he's interested in a little church like this. He's interested in a little prayer meeting like this. He's interested in you and I that are saved in Christ, because he wants the tares to cause the wheat to struggle. If you know anything about growing vegetables or anything in the garden, if you sow certain things against the other, one deprives the other. That's why in gardens they space things out greatly. And he wants the tares to get in among the wheat to deprive the wheat of its growth. He's an enemy. And he comes and he sows the seed amongst God's people. Yeah. Jesus himself, well, he had a Judas, hadn't he? Right in there, in among the 12 disciples, there was Judas. He was a thief. He was everything that, he could preach. I'm sure he could sing. I don't know if he had an organ to play or not, but I'm sure. But Judas was there. And when they went out and they did a preaching tour, they didn't come back and say, you know, Peter didn't say, you know, I got on well and James and all got on well, but Judas didn't get on too well. He didn't do the miracles that we were doing, but he could do it all, friend. And let me tell you, we're in a day and age when the devil will do miracles too. But there's a warning here. Verse 25 says, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. Oh, if someone would have seen him. Oh my, if someone would have come along and seen this boy coming to sow the tares. Oh, they were off guard, we could say. If someone would have said, no, don't give them membership, keep them out. But it didn't happen like that. Satan waited. He watched his opportunity. And he came and he sowed the tares among the wheat in verse 25. And it says, went his way. He came quietly. Yeah. They didn't know he was there. He didn't leave any footprints in the soil. He slipped in, he sowed the tares, and away he went. He waited till bedtime. He waited till they were asleep. He waited till the proper time. And he goes in. He's unseen. He's unknown. And the tares, they don't need special attention. Wheat needs attention. If you have a garden, my, all those proper fruits need lots of attention. They need the weeding and watering and caring. But old weeds, man, they'll grow anywhere, won't they, old tares? It says, then appeared the tares also. Eventually, friend. Oh, there it is. The field is left beautiful. And the seed has been sown and it all looks so well. And he slips in sometime, somewhere, how he sows the tares and goes away. And then it all starts growing. And you say, oh my, look, it's lovely and green. It's growing beautiful. Man, that's going to be a great field of wheat. And then slowly but surely, the tares appear. Happens, you know. Happens in many good Christian homes. You look at that family and you say, man, that's a lovely family. Aren't those children growing up lovely in Sunday school and church? And then the tares begin to appear. The fruit divides the wheat and the tares. It's not the suits. Sometimes we divide people up how they dress. It's not, no. It's the fruit. Divides the wheat. Not everyone could see the difference either. No, the men that did the work, the servants that did the work, they saw the difference. Oh my, when we come to church and we look in church and we suddenly see there's men that the minister, the godly people can see the difference between the saved and the unsaved. The workers. Yeah. It's a difficult situation. Why is there tares? Tares in the world, tares in London, tares in the church, tares in our home. And the sorrow and the grief it brings to God's people. That mother that weeps going to sleep at night because her wee girl is living in sin. That father that would love to take his wee boy and put his arms around him, but the boy's into a position now, he's older, and he's in rebellion against his father, he's in rebellion against his mother, he's in rebellion against God, and they're a grief. This is what it means here. And that faithful servant, that faithful minister, they go and they talk it to God, and they say, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? By the way, if you notice, God didn't blame the servants. He didn't blame the servants. He didn't blame the workers. He didn't say it was your fault. You let the tares get sown. No, he didn't. He said an enemy did this. An enemy got into the home. An enemy got into the church. An enemy. The tares. Verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up, brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares. The servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then of the tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Will we go and gather up the tares? Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together. Just don't be too enthusiastic. Matthew 18 and verse 7 says, Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. God's children will meet with offenses and problems. We have to be careful that we're not overzealous. We have to be careful as workers and children of the good seed that we're guided by the Master. That's something. Sometimes in churches we see problems, or sometimes in our homes we see problems, and we jump in too quickly. It says in 2 Timothy 2 and 25, in meekness instructing those that impose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance. So what are we to do? When we see the tares appearing, we pray for their salvation. We pray for it. When I was growing up in my teens, I stopped going to church a bit and I lived a bit wild. We kept pigs at home. And there's a time when you feed the pigs, and then there's a wee while you wait till they finish their food and you move them back about and so forth. And there's a meal house, and those are the bags, and my father would go and he would pray. There's a man out of one of our churches came one day, and he came up into the yard to my dad, and he was going to tell my father a story about me, about things I was up to. My dad says, here, he said, give me a minute. He said, I've a couple of pigs to move around here. Give me 5 minutes. He says, come here a minute. Do you see the marks in those bags? That's where I pray. Put your knees there. You pray till I come back. My dad went out and he changed around the pigs and so forth. Took a minute or two and he came back, but the man was gone. What was he? He was a gossip friend. He was there to gossip about my life. But he wasn't there to pray for me. But I thank the Lord my dad prayed for me. Gave me that opportunity of God's salvation. And my, when we see the terrors appearing in our church and our homes, the first thing we do is we seek their salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, the last days, perilous times, lovers of selves, boasters, proud, unholy, truce breakers, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So we seek their salvation, and then there's a place where we have to ease back from them. Their company's affecting others. Verse 9 in 2 Timothy 3 says, but they shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest to all men. There's repentance and salvation. And then there's a place of separation. And God says, I'll stop them. I'll stop them. I mentioned earlier when we were in Corrigarry Church, Reverend Smiley had been there before me, and the Reverend Allen had been there before that, and good ministers, better ministers than I'll ever be. But there was no salvation. So a man came to church. My, he could sing. Oh, wonderful guy. And they were all saying, my, if Albert was in church, it would make such a change. But Albert was evil. Let me tell you, friends, solemnly, Albert was sown in that church by the devil. He was an evil, satanic, filled man. Just because you're worshipping and satanic filled or evil filled, it doesn't mean you can't sing the hymns. It doesn't mean you can't read the Bible. I remember the day I found him lying across the back door of his house. God stopped him. God said, I will build my church. I'll build it. Albert was taken. I did his funeral and so forth. And salvation came. Terrors was removed. Oh, I see here we have this great big world and he'll build this church. And I see the workers, the greatest worker of all is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come right down to verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. There's a day of harvesting coming. Oh, friend, the end will come. The end will come. We see some of the signs of the end times. I'm not a great end time subject preacher, but the end will come. And the end is not in Boris Johnson's hands. No, good job, isn't it? No, the end's not in the Westminster's hands either, nor back over at home. The end is not in their hands either, in Stormont or anything, or Dublin either. The end time is in God's hands, and God is in charge of the end harvest, and he's going to send the angels one day, and he's going to bring us home to glory. He's going to winnow, bring home the harvest. As I stood at that old thresher that day, the wee man with the bag was smiling. Harvest time, wheat, food. And he didn't allow one pickle to drop to the ground. Man, he was going to lose none of the barley. the Lord Jesus Christ to lose none of his children either, friend. He's going to draw us home rejoicing. It's going to be someday. I don't understand all the details, but oh my, he's going to get... But it says he's going to gather the tares first. Some of you that study up all the details of the second coming, I suppose it depends on what book you read last. But he says here he gathered the tares first. So the end time comes and the angels come down and they gather up all the unsaved for the fire. As it was in the days of Lot. Lot went off mountain walking up to Zoar when God burned Sodom and Gomorrah with fire. He took the ungodly out. Noah's day, well, Noah sailed off across, I don't know where it was, the Mediterranean or an extended Mediterranean or the North Sea or the China Sea or whatever sea it was. He put them all together and he said, away you go for a sail. And he took the ungodly out. But there's going to be a great day of winnowing, the dividing of the wheat and the tares, friend. And verse 42 says, and he cast them into the furnace of fire. All, verse 41, all that offend and do iniquity, cast them into the furnace of fire, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. The Bible's true. The Bible's true. Going to be a day of separation. Going to be a day when the tares of London will be burnt. Going to be a day when the tares of our churches will be burnt. God said he'd go right into our families and he'll divide between the saved and the unsaved. Those whose names are not in God's book. Yeah, we were signed into a hotel thing and we went in and I said, hello, I believe my name should be there. Oh yes, Maurice Baxter. I said, that's me. Oh yes, we have a room for you. Come, room, food, good. See, we do those things, but we don't expect God to do them. God is a home in heaven. And he puts the names down, your name, my name, those that are saved. A home, a mansion. An eternal home, a heaven. For those that love Christ. Oh, he's going to gather as welcome as home. The winnowing, the welcome home. What a time it will be. Oh, my, to meet. No more sin, no more contradictions, no more persecution. Oh, bodies, new bodies. Going to hear, well done, good and faithful, sir. Oh, I ask you the question, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Saved. Has there been a time when you and God and you and your Savior did business together? Where was it? I was saved at the side of my bed. My father was saved in the stable beside the horse. That other man we mentioned there, he was saved in bed. Wasn't able even to get out of bed. Couldn't even get down on his knees. Dying thief was saved in the cross. Philippine jailer, saved in jail. Wonderful, wasn't it? Are you saved this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Because there's a day coming. There's a day coming, but the saved and the unsaved are going to be divided. There's a place called heaven. It must be wonderful. It must be wonderful. No sorrow. No sickness. No pain. No separation. No night. Streets are paved with gold. Going to get a beautiful home to live in. not be an upstairs flat, friend. No stairs to climb. Be a mansion. Perfect health. Would you swap that for a few years of sin down here? There is a heaven, but there's an awful place called hell. Place of fire, place of weeping, place of wailing and gnashing of teeth, place of torment. Place of darkness. Separated from those that know Christ as their Saviour for all eternity.